reading today's scripture, so if you would remain standing. Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Woo.
Good job, Kenji. I know that was a lot. Thanks for hanging in there and making us stand for a minute. A couple of weeks ago, we started our series, GGMB. What is it again? And we started God's Got My Back with Even in the Dirt and the suffering of life. When all hope seems lost and we feel the weight of the world in life and in relationships, and we kind of dramatically talked about the arrows piercing the kidneys that is in Lamentations, and questions do show up. Does God got my back? And it's hard, and it's painful sometimes, and we wrestle through that. But we really wanted to get to the place that life is hard, but Jesus. Life is hard, but Jesus is the treasure. And God's got my back, even in the dirt of life. And then last week, we had this little encouragement to let God speak. Let God speak. We want to hear it. We want to see it. We want to feel it. And ultimately, we want to experience the fullness of the Father and to join his party and to wow at the picture of heaven, at how they are celebrating when lost are found. God is for you. Like, do you believe that as we start our day today? Like, God is for you. And what a powerful way to, like, end a week and start a week. Like, if I could end every day knowing God is for me and start every day knowing God is for me, that is a great place to let him speak. And today, we're going to be back in the dirt a little bit to close our God's Got My Back series. I brought some plants with us to talk about it, so we're going to talk about it in a little different way. But let's pray. God, we are excited that you are for us. And we've been on this little journey, and it's been fun, and it's been exciting. And I just thought it felt so fitting that you would close out our little series by faith. We need you as much as ever. Would you give us faith? Faith to hear, faith to speak, faith to do, faith to get it, faith to know it's all about you, Jesus. You are welcome here. And I just think it's so cool you just keep showing up in all of our lives in different ways. And so would you show up again this morning, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, any plant or tree starts with a seed like this. And when they are placed in the right environment, what do seeds do? Grow. It's so, man, you guys are awesome. And they need good soil, they need water to establish deep roots and to become a strong tree or a plant and to produce fruit and to flower. And a friend of mine gave me a book a while back, and in the book, it's called The Fight to Flourish. And in one part, it talked about plants, and it talked about trees, and it talked about seed packets. And with those seed packets, have you ever noticed that what is on the front of this seed packet, what is it? It's a tree on this one. Some of you guys are the ones that see. They can't see. I'm dependent on you right now. So these, on the front of this is a redwood tree seed kit. And we don't see a picture of a seed. We see a picture on the front of this of a fully grown great sequoia tree or redwood, coastal redwood tree. And I think that's very important, actually. I think sometimes we are looking at something and we're not seeing in the same way that God is seeing. And if you think about this one right here, these are kind of little, but these are actually seeds from a rose. This does not look like a rose, but it is a rose. And these ones right here, these are seeds from some flowers from Oregon. And I actually got this because I was going to send this it's a postcard seed packet. I was going to send this to my sister in Oregon. And so it kind of made sense. I was like, oh, look at that, an Oregon seed kit. Anyways, that's cool for my sister. And then this one is a seed pack for a mustard tree. And so I just thought that was kind of cool. Mustard seed kind of has some biblical things in there or something like that. You might know. But anyways, all these seed packets have pictures of the full version on the front. And in here we have ferns are like my favorite plant, so I just brought those along with us. And then these are actually olive trees right here. They look like olive bushes. I know it's a little confusing for the illustration, but these are trees someday. And with all of that, whether they look like the complete picture or if they're still a seed, I really believe they still are what they say. Those are roses right there, and there are flowers in there, and those are olive trees. And we hear this word faith a lot in our lives. You gotta have faith. And if I asked you right now to define for us in your own words, what is the definition of faith? Like, what would you say? What would your definition of faith be? How would you explain it to us if you came up and just started going? What does faith look like? And it's this huge topic. And the more I've been prepping and listening and thinking and talking to the Lord about it, I realize it is so big and so deep. And we really could spend like 4 hours. And I know everybody makes the joke, so buckle up and get ready or whatever. But we're not doing that today. We're gonna bust through it. But I will tell you, like, you can go learn so much more than I'm going to be able to tell you this morning about faith. There is so much for you. And it's like, man, is it the cup at TJ Maxx? Is it the sign at Hobby Lobby that we saw the other day? Is it, you know, like, what is faith? Because faith is everywhere. And I want to start this morning with saying that I am trying to see what I can't fully see. I am trying to see what I can't fully see. If you just help me out a little bit, could you put your hand in the air? Just put one hand in the air real quick. Okay, now close your eyes and very gently keep your eyes closed. Would you just high five your neighbor? Hey, some of you are good, man. Wow, good job. That was supposed to be gentle, Haley and Kenji, gentle. Anyway, we are trying to see what we can't see. Faith is being sure of a hope. It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, like the seeds. Faith, it's both. It's like this assurance and it's the thing hoped for. And so now you know why we could talk about this for 4 hours, because it's both. And verse 13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. It's this, we're kind of just saying both sides here, and we don't, but we do get. And it's this ebb and flow of faith. And I guess I wonder, are we okay with that? Am I okay with the ebb and flow with faith, that it's a different kind of seeing? It's a different kind of like the seed and the tree. It's this and that. And there is this incredible potential. But are we certain of what we do not see? I think it is true, because we just have to look at it differently. It's like a different kind of vision is the way this happens. And you might have noticed that God is not going to give you the complete map of every step all the way, all of it at once, which kind of brings that uncertainty. And we can't see it if we don't have spiritual eyes, but it is sure with him. And so we're going back and forth on all this, but I just want to explain it to you. It's not GPS directions. It's not, okay, you meet Jesus and in 300 feet, you need to go read Romans 3 and that's your answer. Perfect, easy. Oh, and by the way, in 300 miles, we're going to take exit 68 and now you should just trade in your car. And you're like, oh man, I was wondering about that this week. Thank you, you know, in 60 miles, merge, and we're going to get a degree in architecture. And you're like, oh man, I was thinking about that too. And it's just so easy. And you might need to go read Romans 3. You might need to go get a degree. You might want to get a degree in architecture. I don't know. But all the car salesmen right now are like, come on, man, come on, man. They're praising the Lord a little bit, hoping this is real. But this is not some shaky feeling about a sign. Like, I love a good sign from God. Praise the Lord for a sign. But primarily, it's not just linear. It's not just, oh, in X amount, do this. I'm trying to see what I cannot see. And the only way that happens is with vision from God, not just me. The way you will see is to let him be your vision. In Genesis 16, God is called El Roy. El Roy. Do you know what that word, what that means? The God who sees. El Roy. We can see what we can't see by trusting the one who can see. You can breathe. Some would translate El Roy as the God who sees me. Maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you need to see that it's El Roy, the God who sees me. It is still by faith, though. You will confidently and humbly, and man, you'll just have this ability at some time, at moments, but it is by faith. By faith, you have perseverance and endurance. By faith. And it's not because you have every answer and have it all figured out all the time. It's by faith. And that faith is sure of a hope, and it's of hope in and from the God who sees, El Roy. Certain, even though we don't feel it. all the way. Feelings are such a gift in life. We kind of tell our crew at work, hey, we love your feelings. We think your feelings are such a blessing. They are an awesome passenger in the ride of life, but they are really bad drivers. They are an awesome passenger, but bad drivers. Feelings are like wonderful servants and bad masters. They serve you so well sometimes, but when they are your leader, man, they have a whip. They just are not kind. And we are certain, even though we don't feel it. And can I just tell you, man, I really felt like as I was prepping right here, I kind of almost like interrupted myself. It's like, I just needed to tell you, like, fruit is on the way for somebody here. Like, fruit is on the way for some of you. And I really believe it. And maybe you don't see it yet because fruit takes time. It's a process, but I just felt like the Lord's like, fruit is on the way for you. And then I was like, okay, Lord, how do I say that? Like, I don't know everybody's story. And I felt like the Lord is like, you are certain of it, Corey. I was like, okay, I'm going to be certain. By faith, I know that it's on the way for some of you. And I'm asking the Lord about this. And I go, how? How do I get to be certain when I speak that from the front to a bunch of people in a room? And I was just going, Lord, I need help seeing this all the way. How do I say that with genuine honesty to you? And I just felt like he was so sweet to me. He said, because some of them are planted in good soil and they are drinking the water of the Lord, and he can see and he knows, and I trust him. And so I know right now, some of you just need to hold on because fruit is on the way. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man or woman who walks in the not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Some of you are drinking from that stream. You show up again and again and again and again, and it is not perfect. It's messy like the canvas and the clay that we heard about this morning. But it's also not just throwing some fertilizer on the plant once in a while, hoping. It's not just like once a week or once in a while. It's this planting in God's word and who he is and getting to know him better, and it will not come back void for you. I'm telling you, the Lord like spoke that over you as I was prepping. So hang in there. You will need faith to see it. Hold on. It is certain. So open your spiritual eyes. Look to the Father, not just the situation. Hebrews 11 is this list of people who produced fruit like that, just like Psalm 1. And it's this Hall of Faith chapter, and we've read it. You've probably heard it before. But the author, I was noticing, he seems to like run out of paper here. He's like trying to get a one-liner about every person in there because they have these historical, memorable actions. And I just started noticing, man, all of them, as I looked at them, their faith moves. Their faith isn't just planted. It's kind of like this see, but you don't see. They are planted, but somehow their faith moves them. And it's so cool. It's these different actions and movements of every person in this chapter. And we're here connected to, and we see it by this one phrase. And the phrase is by faith. And so there's this action, and it's by faith, blank, by faith, blank, by faith, faith, blank. And what does it mean when God repeats something? It's important, and he's speaking, right? So we pay attention when God repeats something. I counted by faith 18 times in the chapter. I actually Googled it first, and then I didn't believe Google. I was like struggling through it. So I went through and counted it every time, and some translations are different or whatever, and I was just not sure if AI was trustworthy. You know, I don't know if you're there or whatever, but trying to figure out where we land there. But I counted it myself, and it's 18 times in the ESV. And depending on your translation, I get that. But it's this realized potential And just a simple understanding for all of us in Scripture, if you want to know what is happening in the Bible, like you read your Bible and I go, oh, I'm not sure what that means. I don't really understand. That's why I have the pastor do it, or that's why I have so-and-so do it. I don't really get Scripture. That's why I don't read my Bible. I just want to give you like the simplest, easiest thing to do. Follow the verbs. If you will just simply follow the verbs, like start somewhere and follow the verbs, and you'll start to see what's happening, because verbs always connect things and they're this movement of the text. And so I'm just going to show you that real quick and let you listen again, and I'll go quick, and I'm not going to read every line, but I'll read parts of them. So verse 3, by faith we understand. 4, by faith Abel offered. By faith Enoch was taken. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. By faith, Noah, in reverent fear, constructed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, he went to live. By faith, Sarah herself received power. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered. I know we're a little past our original text, but I just want to show you this. By faith, Isaac invoked. By faith, Jacob blessed. By faith, Joseph made mention of the Exodus. That's a prophetic word, if you didn't already realize that. By faith, Moses was hidden. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better. Look at all the action of the text. Real faith moves, connected every time to by faith. Faith is the catalyst for the movement. And it's just not this feeling you need to muster up more of so God would hear your prayers. I think it's just a misunderstanding right now. Like, oh, if I just had more of a feeling when I prayed, then God would hear me. And it's like, no, that's not all the way what this is. And I get it, and I want to be gracious with that. But faith is so much more. It's like in and through and like behind the movement and action people of faith are doing. Faith is this huge idea. And every person in Hebrews 11 did something. There was action. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And then in verse 26, he goes on to say, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So why does real faith move? Because it's alive. Real faith will move because it's alive. Yes, it's planted, but it moves and it's alive. And faith sees even though it doesn't see. And did I mention this is somewhat of a complex topic? We could spend a lot of time right here. So how do we know a work of faith is alive? Like when we're doing the things. Yeah, great question. Thanks for asking. I was thinking that same one. I think what we do to see if faith is alive is we need to get a little closer. Get closer. Does the work of faith move? Is it from God or is it from me? Listen, get close. Listen for the heartbeat. Use the stethoscope on it. Feel the warmth, check for breathing, and do all of these things as you get closer. Put your fingers on the wrist and check the pulse. In life, you and I are going to feel a nudge once in a while. Was it the Holy Spirit as you drove down the road, or was that just some weird feeling? Holy Spirit, or was that just some weird feeling? We need to know if God is breathing life into that situation or not. And how do we know that? As you read, as you talk to somebody, as you order your coffee, and maybe it really was just a weird feeling. I get that. So check the pulse. Get close. Maybe it's dead. How do we know? Do we just guess? Do we just wing it every time? Or Do we check? Listen, I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's like, I think there's a tendency in this to kind of slow down here, and we kind of lose some boldness. And I just want to say, as we get older, like, we can't just be lame. And every time we feel that, and just be an old Christian who goes, meh, I'm not sure, I'm not really feeling that one, it's not the Spirit, I don't know. That causes division for young people who are fired up and bold in their faith with you. And the older generation must help the younger generation have maturity and wisdom and see clearly. The older generation has to walk by faith if the younger generation is going to follow in the faith and stay there. And people have at times left in droves who grew up in this building. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to cause that. We want to be people of faith. But right now, there is a movement happening back into the church. The young generation is fired up about God. And it is actually one of the biggest movements. Go read about it. Statistically, the younger generation is moving towards God more than it has in like 30 years. It's happening. And you can be a part of it. And you can help them be a little more polished and be who they're called to be in it and not let it be quite as messy as the canvas and the clay. Because if they do it themselves without you, man, it's gonna be messy. And God will provide for them. But what if you're the one God is calling to provide? God has purpose for you, and the generations move together and have these leaps of faith together. And it is amazing. Practically, I want to just give you a couple. I don't want to just be like, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? Practically, the first one you already know, but maybe you don't realize you know it, but you just pray. Man, you're driving down the road, you're feeling this weird feeling, and you pray. By prayer, you listen and feel for the heartbeat of faith. By prayer, you see if God was speaking into the situation. By prayer, you check the pulse. Psalm 23 says, He leads me. So be close enough to hear him. Talk to him. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. It's this word where he's like, I'm here. Are you with me? Will you lean into the Lord and pray? And the Bible will tell you his voice. That's why we got to learn to follow the verbs so that we can understand the Bible, so we can understand his voice, and so we can understand where we're going. Make sense? A little bit? Okay. I know it's all complex, but this is a great way to check for life. Pray. The second thing I would say about that is you pray and then you respond. When you pray, God does speak. And I know this is a little tough. Sometimes my faith is like in a coma. I get it. It is like I am laying there and my heart's beating, but it's rough, you know? And I don't believe you're just going to wake up from that and just be like, man, I'm confident. Now I'm ready to go. Like, you don't wait to be confident. You actually pray, you listen, and you're there, and you're kind of working through it all. And what happens is it's kind of like going to the gym. Like, man, I really need to go to the gym because I want to get stronger. And if I go, you know, once I'm strong, I'm going to go to the gym, you laughed at me. Once I feel the courage, then I'll step out in courage. That is not how that works. You step out in faith, by faith, and God's going to give you confidence. Go do the opposite of those feelings sometimes, because they are bad masters. But God knows, and he will lead you. And I just don't believe you always get to know 100% the GPS directions when you feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. You trust the Lord. You pray and listen to God and talk to him, and maybe by faith you just do it. And sometimes I think the way you see the fruit is you look back and you go, oh yeah, that was totally the Lord. Man, I see it now. But you didn't get to see it as you did it. You didn't get to see it before you did it. But after, you look back and you go, that was God. I'm sure of it. And man, I was just praying and asking God, like, what are some good illustrations here? And you know, God does speak, and I'm just going to tell you it right now, because I, in order to sermon prep and to read and pray and take time, I have been drinking a lot of coffee, okay? Like, way more because I need to get up early because I have a full-time job. So I've been trying to get up around 5 or whatever, and there's this coffee shop that opens right at 6, and so I'm waiting in the parking lot when they open the door. You can go ask them. They'll be like, oh yeah, Corey's been here every day for 3 or 5 weeks. You know, I don't know what's going on with him, but it's because of this. And as I go into Java, I'm sitting there, and I know some of them in passing and stuff, but I'm talking to this guy, and I just all of a sudden feel like I'm like, man, God's pursuing this guy. I need to just like encourage him a little bit or something. And so I just randomly say like, hey, what's been on your mind the most this last week? It's kind of like a random question. I figure he's going to be like, oh yeah, just trying to eat healthy, trying to do this. Just, you know how it goes, blah, 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 just whatever. And he looks at me and he just opens up about this massive situation at 6:03 in the morning. We're the only two people in there. And he talked for like 21 minutes. And I said a couple things. Like I think I had like a minute and 30 seconds. And he had like 19 minutes and 30 seconds of explaining something to me. And it was really sweet. And I was like, wow. And so I leave and I was just like, man, what was that, God? I don't know, you know, and I kind of head to work and I kind of was like, man, that was interesting. And I just pray for him as I drive to the shop and go upstairs. And so I'm praying for him and then I'm going to lunch and I think of him again and I'm praying for him. And then I'm driving home. I'm thinking of him again. I'm praying for him. And I'm like, man, I can't quit praying about this guy. It just, he keeps coming to my mind. And Lord, what are you doing with him? And I don't know what he believes, but I don't think it's exactly what I believe. And I'm not judging him. I just don't think we believe the exact same thing. And so, anyways, I just ask him, God, what do you want from me? And I felt like God was like, just tell him you've been praying for him. And I was like, oh, well, I wasn't going to go to coffee tomorrow, God. First thing out of my mouth. I'm not even joking. I told the Lord, yeah, I wasn't going to do that tomorrow. And I'm like, well, shoot, I'm kind of preaching on by faith. I better go. And so I get up the next morning and I it's so cool. I walk into the coffee shop. He goes, dude, I've been thinking about you. I thought about you all day yesterday. It's like, oh yeah. He goes, dude, there was this time in my life and I prayed this prayer and I just felt the Lord in it. And I was like, are you a Christian? He's like, no, not really. I don't know. And I'm like, dude, the only reason I'm here is because I've been praying for you all day yesterday. I just came here to tell you that. He goes, what? I was like, I don't know. What? What did you just say? You're like more bold than me. What are you doing, man? And it was so cool. And I was just like, huh, that dude is hearing from the Lord. And God is speaking to him. And he had a little bit of faith. And it was so cool. His faith was seriously bigger than mine. It was cool. But God is at work. Isaiah 26:8 says, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truths, we wait for you, for your name and your renown are the desire of our souls. Do we start with those first two words? Yes, Lord. I really think the way you see if it's alive sometimes and the way you see what you can't see and walk closer to him, you pray and you respond is found in so much of this. And it's sweet because there's this promise from the Lord coming up. But it's like, man, we have 3 boys and we have friends and all of our family and our friends, we all go for these walks. And as we come to an intersection, what do we do with our little ones? We go, hey, hold a hand. You gotta be careful right here. I'm with you. We go, get close, buddy. There's a car coming. And as we do that, man, I love when they get to run. I love when they get to go play, but there are moments I need them to come close so they can hear me, so they know what's going on. My kids can see, but they don't notice that car is coming at 45 miles an hour. So they need to stay close. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Get close enough to hold his hand. That's how you know if your faith is alive in the moments when you're 49% sure. And then when you get to 51% sure, you take that step. You don't wait till you're 80% sure. You don't wait till you're 90% sure. You walk by faith. By faith, I'm trying to see what I can't see. And we see by trusting the one who can. Real faith moves because it's alive. How do we know? We get closer. Check the pulse. Pray. Respond. Let God do a work in you by faith. He wants to help you. Can you just take a big, deep breath, like a 4 seconds in, ready? And hold it for just a second. Sorry, I didn't warn you. Now let it out for 4 seconds. The last thing I want to just dig into for just a second is faith doesn't pretend. The person who walks by faith doesn't just pretend. Yes, there is like this element of unknown in our faith walk. Stepping out of the boat, Peter's like, is that you? And Jesus is like, come. And he's like, that's water. I sink. He's walking on it. And he steps out by faith, not by sight. And the wise person does seek to know. We don't just check out, but they also walk through unknown. And so I'm trying to see what I can't see. And it is confusing. And as I said, this is a tiny bit complex, okay? But lasting faith does not pretend. It's almost always connected to a promise of God. All of those by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they're connecting it to this promise of God that they trusted. They trusted in a promise, and that is the story of Hebrews 11. They leaned in on these promises, and as time passed, they saw truth. The complexity or doubt in this is not this permission to just close your eyes and high five into the air and hope we hit. Complexity is actually like an invitation from the Lord for you. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. When God speaks promises, do they happen? Yes. When God speaks promises, do they happen? Yes. When God said to Moses, hey, I will tell you what to say to Pharaoh, would Moses have seen the promise come to life if he didn't trust and lean on that promise to go see Pharaoh? So God chose that. God chose to speak to Noah and say, hey, build a boat. Would the promise of God, when he says, build a boat so I can save your family, when Noah was living, would he have seen the salvation of God if he didn't build? No. It's when Paul, he's riding his horse down the road, he's just going. He's going to like arrest and kill Christians. He's in a bad place in his walk with God. He thinks he's in a good place, and he gets knocked off a horse. He gets blinded. And as he is laying there, there's a lot probably going on in that man's heart, and he is wrestling and struggling. And there's this moment when he's told by God, go to a man's house who is praying for you. He's blind. He hears a voice say, go. He goes. And what happens? His blindness is healed. What if he said, I'm not going there. You knocked me off my horse. No. Would he have ever seen again? I don't think he would have. I don't think God was just going to be like, hey, here's your free choice, but if you don't do it, I'll do it anyway. I think God invited him to say yes and to trust the promise, and they didn't pretend. They didn't halfway do this. They walked by faith. And let me just say, Jude 1:22 says, be merciful with those who doubt. I'm not up here saying like, oh, you're doubting. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. Man, Thomas, he's such an interesting story in scripture for me because Thomas is this person who's like, unless I see, unless I touch, unless this, I will not. And then a little bit, there's like another place in scripture, Thomas is like, hey, let's go too. Well, let's all go die with him. Like his faith is up and down. And so we can be merciful with each other. We can be gracious. But what about you? What is God speaking to you? Where is the fruit supposed to be showing up? Where is the movement and the life of your faith? We don't pretend. We live it out. And yes, it's hard and it takes time to see the fruit. Time will tell, but my trust is right here. Psalm 33:9, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. When God speaks, he does what he says. He's gonna come through for you. And man, I just want to encourage you, if you will do this, it is going to be okay. I think sometimes that's like the mercy I need somebody to say to me. It's like, hey, Corey, it's gonna be okay. Your trust in Jesus, it's gonna be okay. God built faith into the whole universe. So I know it's like complex and all this, but you showed up, like whether you're a believer or not a believer, whether you think you have faith or you don't think you have faith, like, I mean, just the dumb, you sat in the chair. I don't know. Are you as sure as you think you are? I mean, I don't know. I've seen some youth kids in here jumping around on that chair. It's holding you, though, and you chose to sit in it by faith. The barista who made your coffee this morning, I don't know what you order, but it seems like drinks are getting like to be another language when I order drinks for my team. I was like, are they really making what I think they're making? I don't know. That's what I ordered. I don't know if it's going to be the same as last time, but I choose to trust them. Maybe it'll be the same as last time. Maybe it won't. Some of the lyrics you sang this morning, do you really believe that lyric? Or was that a faith thing? Do you believe that God is going to come through like that song said? Man, that's faith. I think it takes faith to sing. I think sometimes when I don't want to sing, it's because I'm in a coma in my faith. Man, we get dressed, trust in a weatherman who lied to us 1,000 times. Like, it's supposed to be cool today. I seriously wore a jacket this morning because originally I checked and it was going to be cooler today. It was hot. I was like, what is going on? We have faith the sun's going to come up tomorrow. We have faith that we have time. We have faith that our car will run. We have all these things we put faith in just because it's built into the universe, but there is a real faith. Do we have faith in the things of God? Do we pray and trust the God who made it all? Man, this is a dumb one, but I was like ordering at Chick-fil-A, and I was thinking, man, do we really trust this kid back there who's 14 just cooked that chicken all the way? Like, I know it's the Lord's chicken, but I mean, he's 14. Like, I don't know. But yeah, it's the Lord's chicken. So we're going to go with yes. You write a sermon by faith and you trust the Lord and you get 30 hours into it. And you're like, I don't know what this needs, God. But it needs a lot more of you. I'm writing and I'm praying and I'm asking. And real faith is available for you. It is not just meaningless, fake, pretend, guessing at the air. I believe God wants to tell some of you today that you are a rose. He wants to tell some of you today that you are a giant sequoia planted. Maybe you don't have the deepest roots yet. Maybe you haven't had enough living water yet, but man, he sees you, and he doesn't just see the seed. God sees in fullness, and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows all the in-between you've been going through. He knows every piece of the picture on your packet. I believe part of what we all need today is to take that deep breath again, and just say, I trust you, God. I trust that you got my back, that it's gonna be okay. And smile a little bit. Go order your coffee. Go tell the coffee guy about Jesus. Go do the thing that he's calling you to do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the vast, like, huge sides of faith. and that you are seeking our hearts. I don't even understand or grasp that all the way sometimes, God, but would you give us faith, real faith, where we lean on your promises, where we trust in you, and where we see fruit. I pray that the generation that's here together right now would live for the glory of God in everything. I pray for moments where we feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit and we say, yes, Lord. And then people go, I don't know what's going on over at Lighthouse, but they are saying, yes, Lord. And I pray that people who don't even know you are going, look at that. And they're telling us about their prayer time. And God, would you continue to just win our hearts? We love you, Jesus. Amen.